Well, you happy to be in church?
Yes.
Isn't it wonderful to be able to?
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you for strength. Thank you for grace and help and provision. Having a place to sleep. Having good clothes to wear. And good food to eat. And good way to... good car that goes real fast. Good loud motorcycle, good jet that'll burn the paint off your tail. And your list may be a little different from mine, but God's a good God, is what I'm saying. He's a very good God. If you would look in Romans, the 6th chapter again today, we're on a series that we're calling Free from Sin. Free from Sin. Now, today, we'll see, I'm not guaranteeing it, but it's possible I might get into some scriptures that deal with some things about sex. And so, if you got little ones in here and you don't want them to hear it, well, get them to their classes or something. But I'm not going to be crude and vulgar, but the Bible talks about these things. Just giving you a heads up. In Romans, the 6th chapter, don't get scared, it'll be okay. Do we want to know the truth?
Yes.
What will the truth do for you?
Yes.
If you'll receive it and practice it, it'll make you free. It will absolutely deliver you. Liberate you. And we just got through praying. We want to do it God's way. Right? We want to know what He says. And what He says is right. In Romans 6, verse 7 talks about it. Says, let's back up to verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth, or from now on, we should not serve sin. Now, we've gotten into this somewhat before. This is what our fourth lesson or so on this. If you hadn't been with us, go online. They're available. They won't cost you anything. But we're asking and answering the question about if, as the Scripture says, we've been redeemed, and as verse 7 here says, he that's dead is free from sin. The Bible says we're free from this. If we are, then why are so many Christians still having so much trouble with it? And there are answers. He said, verse 8, if you be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dies no more, death has no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he lives unto God. And everything that he didn't do it for himself. He did it in our place. And the victories that he got are our victories. And in verse 11, he says, likewise, reckon... that word reckon means esteem it that way, treat it that way, account it that way. Reckon yourselves to be what? Dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Christ Jesus our Lord. Let not sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Now let's just stop right here. Then do we have to sin? I mean, if we can't help it, then I can't understand this. When he says, don't let sin reign in your mortal body, don't obey it, don't yield to it. Well, if I can't help it, how do I do that?
Right.
No, you don't have to sin. We've all sinned and come short. But you don't have to sin. A lot of people believe that, you know, I'm just an old sinner, hopefully saved by grace. No, you were.
That's it, right there.
Come on, are y'all listening or not?
Yeah.
You were.
Amen.
Now, that doesn't mean you can't sin now, but it means you're not what you used to be.
That's right.
And you don't have to sin. Jesus went his entire life and didn't sin one time. Somebody says, yeah, but Brother Keith, that's Jesus. He did it as a human being. He did it as a man with no unfair advantage over you or I, proving it could be done. If he could go his whole life, you can go a day. Huh? A week. Come on, are y'all with me? How about we stretch out a little bit? A month. Come on, y'all with me or not? Now see, if you couldn't help it, you shouldn't be expected to repent. Because if you can't help it, it's not your fault. But the reason you have to repent is because you could have done something else. You could have done differently, which means you didn't have to. You didn't have to. You know, you'll hear people talk about, you know, well, the devil made me do it. You're giving him too much credit. As a child of God, with the greater one on the inside, with the authority of the name, the devil can't make you do something against you. He can't. He can't. Now, he's a persistent cuss, and he knows how to tempt. Yeah. And if you don't resist him, you'll wind up doing things you shouldn't do. But you didn't have to. And even if you do, thank God, if you can come to the Lord and confess it, he's faithful and just to forgive, merciful, and to cleanse from all unrighteousness. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Now, like I said, we've already covered a lot of ground in our previous parts, and they're available if you will go look. We're here in Romans. Go to the 12th chapter, please. I'm moving too fast. Go to the 3rd chapter of Romans. You need to see the 3rd chapter before you get to the 12th, don't you, sir? The 3rd chapter, we've touched on this, and I'll review just a little bit. What we're talking about right now, I'm asking the question, is it a sin? Is it a sin? In order to have victory over sin, you got to be clear about what it is. Right? And if you're saying, well, I don't think it is a sin. Well, if it is, you're not going to be free from it. Right? You got to get it settled. How can we get this settled? Well, if the Bible tells us what sin is. First, don't turn there, but just listen. 1 John 3:4 says, whoever commits sin transgresses the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. The law was given to show what sin is. That's what Romans reveals, other places. That was the main reason God gave the law. To show what is right and wrong and good and bad. And to transgress the law is still today sin. Now, I mentioned this it may be a little bit of a new ground for some folks, but a couple of years ago, the Lord quickened to me. I don't mean I heard an audible voice, but inside me distinctly, the Lord spoke to my heart that he said, Keith, you don't respect what you call the Old Testament enough. That kind of surprised me because I thought, you know, I might even respect it a little more than the average preacher. But alas, I was wrong. He said, the Lord spoke. I didn't expect it. I knew it was from him. I wasn't thinking this. I wasn't even on this channel. And the Lord quickened him. He said, Keith, you don't respect what you call the Old Testament enough. You see it as a secondary word. And in many cases, irrelevant to today. You reckon I'm the only one?
No.
And then he took me to scripture that we're about to see right here, like in the third chapter, that so clearly states that the law was, is, always will be right and good and holy. In the third chapter, are you there? The 31st verse, after talking about being justified by faith, and some folks have gotten some things mixed up. Well, then, Brother Keith, are you saying we have to keep the law to be saved? No, I didn't say that. We're justified by faith, not by keeping the law. Well, then what do we care about the law anymore? Because the law is always right. And so when he said, it's how you know the difference between right and wrong, good and evil. It's one of the big things. And the Spirit of God will lead you in line with what was revealed long ago. He asked this question after stating that we're not today justified by keeping of the law, but we're justified by our faith in what the Lord has done for us. Amen. Then he says after that, do we then make void the law through faith? Or as some translations say, do we nullify the law? Another one says, do we make the law of none effect? Another one says, do we cancel the law through faith? What's the answer? Keep reading. What? No way. God forbid. Yea, we what? Establish the law. Do most modern churches think that way? No, they don't. No. Many, if you weren't actually reading the verse to them, if you were to ask a lot of modern church-going people and say, well, you know, since we live by faith today and being led by the Spirit, does that, you know, replace the law and nullify the law? I mean, many would say, well, yeah.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, you really no even reason to know the law or to look at the law. Not true. That's what the Lord corrected me about. And I wasn't even going that far. But according to this, you don't nullify the law, you establish the law. Now, whether you understand this or not, I'm reading Romans in the New Testament. Is it right? Somebody said, this is right. This is right. And in the, he asked the question, do we make useless the law? Do we make the law of none effect? Do we cancel the law? Do we nullify the law? And it says, not at all. Rather, we uphold the law. And so Romans 7 said this in Romans 7, 11. Romans 7, 11, he said, verse 12, for time's sake. He said, the law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good. What about the law?
Holy.
It's holy. And it's just.
And it's good.
It's fair. And it's good. Is. Not just was. Is. Why? It's the Word of God. Right? It came out of God. It came out of His mouth. One of the perfect examples, most obvious examples of this, is what we call the Ten Commandments. Ten Commandments. That's included in, and a substantial part of, the law. And He gave a lot of statutes and ordinances that accompany this. But which one of the Ten Commandments is no longer good. No longer holy. No longer just and right. No longer relevant. Is a secondary word of God that you can just ignore. Not a one. Every one of them. Just as true. Just as good. Just as holy. Just as right today as it was all those centuries ago when God came down on the mountain in fire and spoke it out in an audible voice. Amen. You will have no other gods before me. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. So is it okay now to have an extra god or two on the side?
No.
No. You will not make any graven images of anything or bow down in front of it. Huh? You should not have any pictures or statues that you get in front of and bow before or pray before. Somebody says, yeah, but is that no, none. None. Are y'all with me? None. It's wrong. It was wrong then. It's wrong now. You shall not steal.
Amen.
Stealing okay now?
No.
Well, we live in a new day. Huh? Just as wrong. See, the law was given to show you this is right, this is wrong. Now, if God ever said it was wrong, when would it become okay? And why? And that would mean God changed on something? Doesn't sound right, does it? Go to Mark, if you would, please. The seventh chapter. I hadn't forgot about chapter 12, but for time's sake, let's keep clicking along here. We looked at this last week, I believe, Mark 7. And it uses actually the same word we just read there in Romans 3:31. One translation says, since we're justified by faith, we're living by faith, do we nullify the law? And what was the answer?
No.
Not just no, but
God
forbid. In other words, what are you thinking, boy? Huh? No. We establish and uphold the law. It's good. It's holy. It's right. And I says, well, what about all those offerings? Well, Jesus has become the final offering.
Amen.
Hallelujah. For sin, there is no more offering for sin. But what about when people did some of this stuff? They got stoned. Well, thank God for the mercy of God.
Amen.
Jesus took all the punishment for all the sins, so it's not for us to try to meet punishment. Can you see this? But that doesn't do with the fact, away with the truth, that everything God said was wrong is still wrong. And everything He said is right is still right. So, Mark 7. Jesus corrected the religious leaders of His day. And these were the guys that had their doctorates in theology. They were the doctors and lawyers. Lawyer meant not like we think today, not civil law, but the law of God. And they were the experts in the law. And yet, look what they had done. He said to them in verse 6, Mark 7, 6, well, has Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites? Now, these were the main religious leaders of their day. He calls them hypocrites. He said, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain they do worship me. Is it possible that a number of people are going through religious rituals and it's all for nothing? It's vain. Why? Because they're teaching for doctrines, not what God has said, but what men have said. The commandments of men. He says, for laying aside the commandment of God. Now, did you hear that? What is he reproving them for? What, the commandment of God, which would be part of the law, right? And the statutes and ordinances and prophets, part of what God said. He said, you have set that aside. You laid that aside. You hold the tradition of men, washing of things and many such like things you do. Verse 9, he said, full well you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your own tradition. He said, you have laid aside the commandment of God and you've replaced it with what would have been to for them a modern tradition. As the enemy, he hadn't stopped doing that. Every generation, he's endeavoring to work some kind of a justification in to ignore what God said. And to say, well, no, that doesn't fit today. Some modern interpretation that would justify ignoring what God said. And can you see how successful the enemy has been to get most of the church to write off almost 60% of the Word of God? Because the title said Old Testament? Y'all with me? How many people are totally ignoring everything there? Well, keep going. He gives them a specific example. Moses said, honor your father and your mother. Let's just stop right here. Is that one of the Ten Commandments? That's number 5, I believe. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. Do you know this is quoted in Ephesians? Right? And applied as present truth? Is it still right today to honor your father and your mother?
Yes.
God used to be real big on it. But it's been a long time.
No.
Well, it has been a long time. But over the centuries, has God softened his stance on that? He does not change.
No.
Come on, somebody say it. God does not change.
Ever.
He doesn't change. And so he's telling them, these experts in the law. He's quoting to them. And of course, they're sitting there looking at him smugly going, of course we know, honor your father and mother. That's one of the Ten Commandments. Yeah, but. And he said, how about this one? If you curse father and mother, let him die the death. I mean, you cuss your mama out back then. That was it. You died. You hit your daddy with your fist. You died. Why was God like that? Has he changed? Has God changed? No, our covenant has changed. Our access has changed. But God hasn't changed. And right and wrong hasn't changed. And truth hasn't changed. Verse 11, but you say, God said, but you say something else. You say, yeah, but you know, if a man does Korban. Now, Korban meant you dedicated your money to the temple, which is where these doctors of the law could get to it. Then, whatever Your mother and father might have benefited from your money, from your wealth. You will be free. In other words, you're no longer obligated to do anything materially or financially for mother and father, because you have done korban. Recent revelation. Modern interpretation. Y'all okay or not?
Oh, yeah.
And he said, you suffer him no more to do aught for his father and mother, and you have made the word of God of none effect through your tradition, and you, which you've delivered, and many such like things you do. Listen to some of these other translations, because it's the same word, same idea we read in Romans 3:31. The New Living says, so you cancel the word of God. The NIV says, so you nullify the word of God. Put up the Amplified on this. It's very good here. The Amplified says, so you're nullifying and making void and of no effect the authority of the word of God. That's the, is that the classic, or is that what the C? Well, I got the other one then. It says it like this. You nullify the authority of the word of God, acting as if it did not apply. Acting like it didn't apply. Is that has that happened today?
Yes.
Go to 1 Corinthians, please, the fifth chapter. 1 Corinthians 5. Now, 1 Corinthians 5 is in the New Testament. And it's the New Testament church. We're part of the same church as them. And in writing to them in the fifth chapter, he corrected them quite strongly. And this is what it was about. 1 Corinthians 5:1. He said, it is reported commonly that there's fornication among you. Now that's sex between people.
Right.
And such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. Now that wasn't his mother, but it'd be his, like his stepmother.
Right.
And verse 2, and you are what? Puffed up, and have not rather mourned that he that's done this deed might be taken away from you. Now why would they be puffed up? What is that? We're going to see in just a few moments, this very issue was specifically dealt with in Leviticus. God gave specific word about this and about some other things. And so, and this is what many have not understood. So many issues and questions that people are wrestling with, is this okay? Is this not okay? It's already been answered.
Right.
Unless you just ignore half the Bible.
Right.
Mm. Are y'all okay?
Yeah.
Huh? It's already been answered.
Right.
And you'll see that the Spirit of God through Paul interprets this situation like it's already been revealed. He's not wrestling with is it okay or not.
Right.
He's saying, what are you doing? Why are you going along with this? And why are you puffed up? Well, look in Jude, or they'll put it on the screen for us. This will help answer why they were puffed up. Jude, just one chapter in Jude, and the third verse. Jude, verse 3, he said, beloved, I gave all diligence to write to you the common salvation. It was needful for me to write you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. Do we need to be looking for something new, or do we need to be holding on to what was once delivered that does not change? And verse 4, for, and he tells why you got to hold on to the original. There are certain men crept in unawares, they're sneaky, ungodly men that are turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. Lasciviousness means no restraint. No restraint. It means everything's okay. Why? Because of grace. Do y'all hear this or not? Turning ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into no restraint. Everything's okay. Why? Well, because we're not under the law, we're under grace. This is not true. We are under grace. We're not under the law, but the law is still right. And if you're led by the Spirit, you're not going to be breaking the things that the law was given to reveal what was right and what was wrong. That's why they were puffed up. They were saying, see, same idea. The scripture said, we're going to look at it in just a moment, but that it was wrong for a man to be involved with his stepmother or his father's wife. Period. Yeah, but what if his father wasn't treating her right? What if he was abusive? And what if, you know, they fell in love and they couldn't help it? And besides that, we're not under the law. Huh? Do you see what we're talking about here? So in that case, what did you just do? You laid aside the Word of God. Right? And you have fabricated your own modern interpretation and idea that completely contradicts what God already revealed. Y'all okay so far? Go to Leviticus, the 18th chapter, and I'll show you what I'm talking about. Leviticus 18, and we're just going to read most of these verses. Because, you know, a lot of folks have never read them. Because it's Old Testament. Actually, that is a title men gave to it. It does describe the Old Covenant, but that's not all there is. It's the creation account. Is that right? And it's all of the laws and statutes and everything that God has revealed. And it's all of the writings of the prophets and the Psalms and the wisdom and, huh? Yes. There's some good stuff here. Yes. Y'all with me or not? Just as good as the New Testament. Yes. Just, did you hear what I said? Yes. It is quoted verbatim. All over the place in the New Testament. It is called Scripture. The writers of the New Testament assume you know something about it. They talk to you like you do. So, have you ever read Leviticus? Well, let me remind you, Romans said the law is holy. And it is just. And it is good. And do we nullify the law by our living by faith and being justified? God forbid. We uphold the law. We establish the law. Well, listen, Leviticus 18. I hope you're excited about Leviticus now. There are answers here. I'm telling you, there are answers on every page. Answers that are forever true and forever right. Leviticus 18, verse 1. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, I am the Lord your God." Is he the Lord our God?
Yes,
yes, he is. After the doings of the land of Egypt, which is a type of the world, wherein you dwelt, you shall not do. That's where I was going to take you to Romans 12, where he says, don't be conformed. Right? To this world. And he's talking about this ungodly world. Because does the ungodly world have any respect for what God said?
No.
None. But we do. And after the doings of the land of Canaan, where I bring you, shall you not do. He's saying, don't live like they live. Don't practice and do what they do. And then he gives about 20 examples specific of what they did. And he said, don't do this. Don't live like this. And he says, verse 4, you shall do my judgments. Keep my ordinances. I'm the Lord your God. You keep my statutes, my judgments, which if a man do, he'll live in them. I am the Lord. None of you shall approach to any that's near of kin to him to uncover their nakedness. I am the Lord. Now, King James says uncover their nakedness. I think the NIV says have sexual relations with. So the lying with means having sex with. None of you shall approach to any that's near of kin to him. How many think that's still a good idea?
Amen.
And still right. Keep going. The nakedness of your father or the nakedness of your mother, you shall not uncover. She's your mother. You shall not uncover her nakedness. Somebody say, still right. Verse 8. The nakedness of your father's wife. Now, this is exactly what they were dealing with in 1 Corinthians 5. This would be like your stepmother or whatever. You shall not uncover. In other words, actually, I think the NIV says you don't have sexual relations with her. It's your father's nakedness. It's disrespectful to her and to him and to you. It's wrong.
Right.
It was wrong then.
Amen.
It's wrong now.
Amen.
20 years from now.
Yes.
Still be wrong.
Amen.
Yeah, but we live in a new day and a new age.
No.
Well, you can live in the ungodly world and you can do it that way and be wrong, but it's sin.
Right.
Is it sin or not?
Yes.
Okay, keep going. The nakedness of your sister, the daughter of your father or the daughter of your mother, whether she's born at home or born abroad, their nakedness you shall not uncover. I want to hear you say, still right.
Still right.
This is still right, and what he's describing is still wrong. So verse 10. The nakedness of your son's daughter or your daughter's daughter, their nakedness you shall not uncover. Theirs is your own nakedness. And we'll just say it that way. Say it's still wrong. Verse 11, the nakedness of your father's wife's daughter, begotten of your father, she's your sister. You shall not uncover her nakedness. Say it, that's still wrong. Verse 12, you'll not uncover the nakedness of your father's sister. She's your father's near kinswoman. Keep going. You'll not uncover the nakedness of your mother's sister. She's your mother's near kinswoman. Keep going. Not uncover the nakedness of your father's brother. You shall not approach to his wife. She is your aunt or your aunt, depending on what part of the country you come from. Somebody say, still wrong. It's still, all that's still wrong. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your daughter-in-law. She's your son's wife. You shall not uncover her nakedness. Say it out loud. Still wrong. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your brother's wife. It's your brother's nakedness. Still wrong. You shall not uncover the nakedness of a woman and her daughter. Neither shall you take her son's daughter or her daughter's daughter to uncover their nakedness. For their near kinswoman, it is wickedness. Say that loud, it's still wickedness. Neither shall you take a wife to her sister to vex her to uncover her nakedness beside the other in her lifetime. Say, still wrong. You shall not approach to a woman to uncover her nakedness as long as she's put apart for her uncleanness. Still wrong. You shall not lie carnally with your neighbor's wife to defile yourself with her. Still wrong. You shall not let any of your seed pass through the fire to Molech. Neither shall you profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. They were practicing child human sacrifice. Still wrong?
Still wrong.
Still wrong. And killing infants is still wrong. Huh? Still wrong. You shall not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination. This is one that has widely been laid aside. Right? Look at the next one. You shall not lie down with any beast to defile yourself. Neither shall a woman stand before a beast to lie down. It is confusion. Defile not yourselves in any of these things, for in all these the nations are defiled which I cast out before you. The land's defiled. That's why I visit the iniquity. The land itself vomits out her inhabitants because of these things. He's telling us that's why God was justified in giving the Israelites all this land that was already inhabited, because the land itself is puking them out because of their abominations and their wickedness. Has any of this become okay?
No.
Well, back up to the one that it talked about, back up to previous verse. Keep going back, right there. You shall not lie with mankind as with womankind. Out of 20 of these, why is this one okay? Are y'all with me or not? When did it change? Why did it change? Now, don't misunderstand me. It's a free country. You can live any way you want to. But don't tell us God's okay with it. And he changed his mind under the new covenant. Y'all okay or not? Look in Deuteronomy. Hold you. Well, no, you don't have to hold your place there. But Deuteronomy 22:5. The verse right after it was sex with animals. If one of these has now changed and is okay, why not some of the others? Why one out of 20? This one says, the woman shall not wear that which pertains to a man. Neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all that do so are abomination to the Lord your God. And you hear people say, yeah, but that's, you know, that's not what Jesus taught. Really? So Jesus is in disagreement with the Father. Well, Jesus didn't say anything about homosexuality. He didn't use the word. He didn't say anything about heroin either.
That's right.
Or any number. Or about the internet. Quoting or misquoting half of a verse you don't understand does not justify you in ignoring a handful of scriptures you do understand. Are y'all okay?
Yes.
No. So is it okay for men to dress like women?
No.
Are women to dress like men?
No.
Now I know this is, people get fuming mad about it. But I didn't write this. You didn't write this. Did God change?
No.
Is it okay to ignore scriptures?
No.
And lay it aside because of new ideas you have come up with?
No.
Look with me in the New Testament. While I'm talking about it, I might as well make a good go of it, right? I might as well finish it up. It's part of my job. Right? What do we ask? We're asking the question, is it a sin?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Whether you're talking about fornication, adultery, incest,
yes,
all these other things, is it a sin? Did God ever say anything about it?
Yes.
Very clearly.
Yes.
Very plainly.
Yes.
Now, if you want to ignore it and lay it aside and replace it with something, you can. Millions are doing it. But don't come tell us and try to convince us God changed. And he changed his mind because we're not going to buy it. We're not going to agree. We don't hate you. We're not against you. And when I say one sin is so much worse than another, there's a lot of folks in fornication, a lot of folks in adultery, right? But at least get clear on this. It's wrong. Right? It's wrong. And it'll be wrong tomorrow. It was wrong, what you call the old covenant. It's wrong in the new covenant. It's just wrong. Whether it's you or me, it's... Whew. 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. 1 Corinthians in the New Testament too, right? 1 Corinthians 6 and 9. 6:9 says, "Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Be not deceived. Neither fornicators..." Somebody say still wrong.
Still wrong.
"Idolaters..." Still wrong. "Adulterers..."
Still wrong.
"Effeminate..."
Still wrong.
"Effeminate means those that wear the soft clothing." This is men acting like women. "Abusers of themselves with mankind." That's not clear in the King James. Literally, the word is sodomites. Sodomites. Well, out of the list, can we just pick one and say, well, this one's okay now? Which one you pick? If one of them's okay, why aren't the others okay? And what's it based on? 1 Timothy, the 1st chapter, also in the New Testament. There are numerous places. When people say there's nothing about it in the New Testament, that just shows their ignorance of the Bible. Oh, yeah. And there, I assure you, there's no disagreement between Jesus and the Father God. Or between the writings of the Holy Spirit through Paul. And any of the inspired scriptures and Jesus or the Father is the same Spirit. 1 Timothy 1:8, "We know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. Knowing this, the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly, for sinners, unholy, profane, murderers of fathers, murderers of mothers, manslayers." What he's saying, if you're born again and you're full of the love of God and you're led by the Spirit of God, you're not going to do all this stuff.
Amen.
But these people were not born again. And so the law was given to help them see right and wrong. Verse 10, "For whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind." That's the same idea as sodomites and men having sex with men. "For men stealers, for liars, perjured persons, if there be anything contrary to sound doctrine according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which is committed to my trust." Can we pick any one of those out and say, well, it's okay now?
No.
2025 is, it's okay now.
No.
Why? Because, well, we're under grace. Mm-hmm. Well, we just got through reading in the New Testament in Jude that people who say that grace means everything's okay and nothing's wrong anymore, that is ungodly people. Ungodly people. Are there answers in the Word if you will accept them?
Yes.
There are. And there's more than this. I'm not giving an exhaustive study of this, but we need to understand. Look in 1 John. Well, yeah, you go to 1 John 1, and I'm going to read something else to you while you're on your way. Is this okay? Now, if hearing some of this makes you mad, you want to be clear on who you're mad at. Right? You're mad at Leviticus. You're mad at 1 Corinthians, at 1 Timothy, or Romans, Hmm? That would mean you're mad at God. Psalm, put on the screen for us, Psalm 50:21. Psalm 50:21. You will notice that many today, this includes people who stand in the pulpit, this includes clergy, they have recreated God in their own image. This scripture talks about this. He said, God says, these things you have done, and I kept silence, and you thought that I was altogether such an one as yourself. But I will reprove you and set them in order before your eyes. Verse 22, consider this, you that forget God. Isn't that what they were doing? Laying his stuff aside, ignoring him, forgetting him. Lest, he says, I tear you in pieces, there be none to deliver. There's a judgment coming for those who hate God. Amen. Listen to other translations. The Complete Jewish says, you may have thought I was just like you, but I will rebuke you and indict you to your face. Today's English says, you've done all of this, and I have said nothing, God said, so you thought that I am like you. And verse 22, he said, listen to this, you that ignore me, or I'll destroy you. The New Living Translation said, you thought I didn't care. You thought I didn't care about it. Well, he used to care. We saw it plainly and clearly. No, be on the watch for people. They try to tell you, well, no, God's like this and God's like this. And as they're talking, you realize that sounds a whole lot like you. They imagine God is like them. But God is like he has always been.
Amen.
And will always be. He does not change from generation to generation. He's unaffected by fads. He is the Ancient of Days, the Almighty, who never changes. Never. Anything you ever read in any part of the Bible where he said this is wrong, it's still wrong. This is good and right. It's still good and right. And always will be. Hallelujah. In 1 John, did you find that? In closing, I think. Is this okay today, guys? What should a preacher preach? Come on, help me out. What should a... Huh? The scripture says, preach the word. Be in season. Out of season, right? And whether it's correction or instruction or... preach the word. I didn't write this. You didn't write this. But it's our choice whether we believe it or whether we come up with some modern idea that lays aside the word of God and replaces it. I don't want that. 1 John 1 and verse 5. It said, this then is the message that we've heard of him. And declare unto you that God is light. And in him is what? How much darkness?
No,
no darkness at all. Now, notice what goes with this. Verse 6. If we say we have fellowship with him and we're walking in darkness, we are lying and we're not doing the truth. You'll find a lot of people that'll try to tell you, hey, I don't agree with you on all this, but I know God, and God and I are close and like this. Well, if you're ignoring what he said, you're lying. I didn't say it. He said it. Keep going. If we walk in the light, as he's in the light, well, the Bible said the entrance of his word gives light. Would that include Leviticus 18?
Yes. Yes.
Is that light?
Yes.
It is light. Now, what he was telling them, in Egypt, they lived in incest. They did abominable, bizarre things. I mean, anything that's happening in the world today, it's not new. And it's not even as bad as it's ever been. People say, man, it's worse than it's ever been. Not even close.
No,
Noah's day was bad. It was so bad. Sodom and Gomorrah was bad.
Yes.
Bad. You couldn't even stay at the hotel overnight without all the men coming to rape you. Thank God. Where we live is not like that. Right? But that's what happens, and that's what the enemy wants to push the world to again. He wants to push it all the way where it's nothing but filth and perversion and violence everywhere, all the time, so that the whole thing is just completely destroyed. He hates mankind. He wants us all gone. But tough. He's a defeated foe. Right? And we belong to the Most High God. He said, verse 8, if we say we have no sin. Now you got to keep this connected to verse 6. What did verse 6 say? If we say we have fellowship with him and we're doing what? Walking in darkness. Isaiah 5 warned about this. It said, woe to them that call light darkness and darkness light and good evil and evil good. Whoa, are people doing that?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're saying, yeah, this light and the word of God, oh, that's bad. That's hate speech.
Yeah. That's right.
Huh? But all this perversion, that's just fine now.
Yeah.
That's good. That's like, no, if you're walking in darkness and you say me and God are close, you're lying.
That's right?
Right? And if you're walking in darkness and you say, I don't have any sin, you're deceiving yourself. And the truth's not in you. But no matter how far off you've gone, if you'll confess your sins, hallelujah, no matter how bad it got, if you'll do it, he's faithful and just to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Now, if you say, yeah, but we have not sinned. Again, you got to go back to verse 6. If you're walking in darkness and you're saying, yeah, but what I'm doing is not sin. Yeah, but there's 8 scriptures that says it is. I know God. And God told me it was okay.
No.
You're a liar.
Right.
Y'all with me?
Yeah.
If we say we hadn't sinned when walking in darkness, we make him a liar. Because he said it wasn't okay. And his word is not in us. My little children, these things I write to you, that what?
Sin.
That what?
Sin.
Do I have to sin?
No.
No, I don't. That you sin not. But if any man does sin, that's not the end. We have an advocate.
Amen.
With the Father. Jesus Christ. The righteous. And he is the propitiation. He is the satisfaction for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son.
Hallelujah.
Keep reading. Hereby we know that we know him if somebody that really knows God, huh? They are going to stay with what he said in his word.
Amen.
This is how we know him. Why am I saying this? Because there are a lot of people who will tell you, no, I know God and I'm close to God. But they have all these things that they're doing and that they're involved in that's plainly, clearly contrary to the word of God. So what they're saying is not true. And it could be that they've deceived themselves. But also, it's lying. Said out loud, God
never
changes.
Changes.
He that says, I know him, verse 4, and keeps not his commandments is what?
Liar.
See, why does he keep saying that? He's a liar. And the truth is not in him. And we touched on this before, but it'll bear repetition. I was seeing an interview that was an internationally known program where a pastor that I know, I don't know him well, but he was being interviewed. And then this guy, the interviewer, was trying to pressure him and mess with him and said, well, do you oppose this lifestyle or that lifestyle or this thing or that thing? And he said, well, didn't Jesus preach love and acceptance for everybody? And that's when I was sitting watching the TV and the Spirit, he said, Jesus preached love and acceptance. And the Spirit of God spoke up in me and said, no, I didn't.
All right.
That is not what I preached.
Yep. Right.
I kind of sat back in my chair and I thought, I got to look in the scriptures again, right? I mean, and I did. And you will find, of course, that's true. That's not what he preached. Jesus did not preach love and acceptance. So, well, certainly he did. You don't know your Bible. No. He preached repentance. Any difference between repentance and acceptance? I think quite a bit. What does repent mean?
Change.
Repent means you got something to repent over.
Right?
You've been doing something wrong. We're going to change it. We're going to get it right. What does acceptance mean? Oh, it's okay. Huh? God loves you anyway. Well, he does, but that doesn't mean he loves everything you're doing. Or that he's okay with it. Or that he'll accept it. Or that it won't kill you. He preached repentance. And he preached the gospel of the kingdom of God. That's what he preached. He commanded his disciples, us, to love each other. But can you see how crafty the enemy is? Well, Jesus preached love and acceptance. That means you're supposed to just accept, you know, and you're supposed to embrace. And can you see that is a tradition that allows you to push the Word of God away and replace it with that. But then the Scripture says, if you've overcome with sin, you become the slave of sin. You're not free to do it. You're actually in bondage, whether you will admit it or not. And the Bible talks about, we didn't read this, but we need to. Can you give me just like 3 more minutes here? I didn't finish in 1 Corinthians 6. Go back there, 1 Corinthians 6. There's, of course, a lot more. But, and I could probably just anticipate and say, no need in sending letters. Or I don't see me changing on any of this. Because I didn't write this. Right? 1 Corinthians 6. We read this, verse 9, but I didn't go all the way. He said, do you know that the unrighteous won't inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived. Then he mentions all these things. And verse 11, and such were some of you. That word's important. That word, were. Some of them were what? Fornicators. Thieves, covetous, drunkards. Extortioners, that's bad. Idolaters. Adulterers. Cross-dressers, effeminate. Sodomites. Huh? Now you hear a lot of people say, well, I was born this way. And I can't change. They did.
Amen.
Are y'all with me or not?
Yes, sir.
If you can say, well, I was born this way and I can't help it. I want a man. Well, people say, I can't help it. I want a child. I can't help it. I want somebody else's wife. I can't help it. You can say that about any one of these. I can't help it. I wanted their money, so I stole it. I can't help lies. Such were... Oh, are y'all with me or not? Is this good news or not? These guys... This is not theory. Maybe they were. Maybe the Bible says they were this. Right? They were. And he said... This is the church at Corinth. He said, some of you, that's what you were. But you are washed. You're sanctified. You're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. So it is possible to change. It is possible to be delivered, to be set totally free from sin. Hallelujah. Stand on your feet, everybody. Stand on your feet.